Welcome to the Anthem Church Podcast. Our desire is to transform lives through authentic experiences with God and with people. This message is brought to you from Anthem Church in Fairview, Oregon. We pray you are encouraged, inspired, and strengthened through the teaching and preaching of God's Word.
And our goal here at Anthem, as you know, we want to get people into the sweet spot of God's favor for their life. Amen? That's what this whole series has been about, because we know that so many people live that they're believers, but they're not blessed. They're saved, but they're not set free. And so, you know, the truth is, all of us live under God's grace. I mean, God's grace is upon us all, but not everyone lives under God's favor. And that, I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but listen, that's why we're doing this Blessed Life Service series, because we want every one of you to get into the favor of God, to move from the grace of God into the favor of God. Come on, don't you think that's a great idea today? And that's what this is all about. And so we're going to talk about some things tie this all together, and hopefully it's going to really stir your heart and change a lot of things in your life. Now, if you are in Israel today, you would be celebrating the day of Pentecost. It was a day, an incredible day. 2017 years ago today, the Holy Spirit was given from heaven. God sent the Holy Spirit onto the disciples. You read about it in Acts chapter 2. And they were baptized and empowered with the Holy Spirit, and the church began on that Sunday. So the church began 2017 years ago. So, I mean, that is a monumental moment in the history of the church. And today is the anniversary of that event. And you and I, see, you and I are part of what God birthed that day. You know, not an organization or not a building or anything, but a people that would represent God on the earth. Amen? And that's who we're a part of. And so, you know, may God transform us to be the people that He wants us to be and represent Him well. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for this opportunity to hear Your Word. I pray You'd help me to share the things that You've put on my heart. And I pray You'd open every heart and all the ears of those that listen. Jesus, You said that there are those that have ears that don't hear. We don't want to be those people. We want to be those with ears that hear deep into our soul, into our spirit, all that You have to speak to us today. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you so much. Amen. All righty. Can you imagine if you were there? I mean, why were they celebrating Pentecost? Or, you know, a lot of people think that Pentecost is a New Testament holiday, that Pentecost started with the day of that the Holy Spirit came, but it's not. It was one of the 3 days that the people of God were commanded by God to come to Jerusalem. Everyone, all the families came to Jerusalem 3 times a year to celebrate different events in the history of the people. And this celebration was an annual time where they remembered when God came to Moses and the people of God after they came out of Egypt, and He came down on the mountain and gave Moses the Ten Commandments and all of the rest of the pathway to life and blessing that are in the Word of God. So it was on that first day, that first Pentecost, that God gave the gift of His Word to His people. And so God said, my Word is something to be remembered. The day I gave that is something to be remembered. And so He had them come to and celebrate that day, and they were commanded to bring a special offering, and we're going to participate in that because we believe that we are part of those, that we are the people of God, and that those things haven't changed. Amen? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And so His Word doesn't change, and the things He asks us to celebrate are the same. And so I'm excited about that. But I want to talk to you about a couple stories real quickly in the Scriptures. The first one is from 1 Kings chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, turn there. We're going to just read a few verses in that. They're not all of them are not in your notes. Chapters or verses 12 through 16 are in your notes, so you can follow along on that, and they'll throw those up on the board. But I want to read starting with verse 8, and then we'll go talk about some things after that and why this is important for our life. Okay? And it's about a widow that has an opportunity to get some her priorities in order. And here's what it says. The word of the Lord came to Elisha, "Get up, go to Zarephath that belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Look, I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there." So Elisha got up and went to Zarephath. And when he arrived at the city gate, there was a widow woman gathering wood. And Elisha called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup and let me drink." Now, let me just say that, give you a little bit of perspective here. Elisha is asking for water, and the area has been in a drought and was going to be in a drought for 3.5 years. So it's in the middle of the drought. It hasn't rained at all. Most biblical scholars think that this story takes place about 6 months into the 3.5 period that there was no rain on this area at all. No rain means no water, means no crops in the field, means no food on the table. It means big trouble, okay? And so Elisha comes, he sees this woman, he says, "Bring me a drink of water," which is kind of the first thing that is like, "Really, give me some of your water." And as she went to get it, she's a kind woman, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." And this is where things get interesting. And I believe that this is in your notes. But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I don't have anything baked, only a handful of flour in the jar and a bit of oil in the jug. And just now I'm gathering a couple of sticks in order to go prepare it for myself and my son so we can eat it and die." She is in a difficult situation. Her flour has run out. Her oil has run out. She's going to make one last meal, and she's going to die. And it's going to be over for her. And you think about that. And here is this guy who says, "Make me a small loaf." But look at verse 13. Then Elisha said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a small loaf from it and bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make some for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The flour jar will not become empty, and the oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land." So she proceeded to do according to the word of Elisha. And then the woman, Elisha, and her household ate for many days, and the flour jar did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry, according to the word of the Lord he had spoken through Elisha. Can you imagine that? 3 years, she went to her Cheerio box and opened the Cheerio box, and every time she started to pour in the bowl, there were more Cheerios there. Now just think about it. In your own life, put it in your own world. You go to your cupboard and you grab the box of cereal, and for 3 years, you keep pouring, and it's never empty. Every morning you go there, you think, "Man, I ate most of it yesterday." You open it up, and it keeps pouring. You go to the refrigerator, you pull out your, carton of milk, and for 3 years, you keep pouring milk, and you keep pouring, and you keep pouring, and you keep pouring. For 3 years. Can you imagine? That's pretty cool. How did she get there? How did she step into that miracle? How did that happen in her life? She needed the miracle, and God came through it because she was in a tough place, wasn't she? And when I think about this, here she is. God calls her and speaks to her and says, the man of God says, "Bring me something first. Bring me a cake first." And he says, "Put God first." And I know we talk about that. We know that, hey, God comes first, and he ought to come first. And we talk about that, and we say that, but really putting him first is a lot easier said than done. And, you know, I can tell if a person is putting God first in their life by simply looking at one thing in their life, just one thing, and that's your bank statement. Your bank statement will tell me everything I need to know about what's first in your life, amen? And if God comes first, here's what happens. Everything else will come into order, and that's the absolute truth. I mean, I've talked to so many people that are mad at God. They're mad at God because they needed God to come through in a time in their life, and it didn't happen. And they wonder, well, God, why didn't you come through? Why didn't you do what I needed? But they've been following their own ideas and their own plan for a long time. And here, look at your key Bible verse, because this really helps us understand. Proverbs 19:3 says, people ruin their lives by their own foolishness, and then they are angry at the Lord. I mean, they do their own thing, and it doesn't work out, and then they go, gee, I'm mad at God. But this woman was challenged by Elisha to get her priorities in order, and God rewarded her in an incredible way. And I think about this. I mean, here Elisha shows up at this gate. He sees this woman, and this woman is collecting sticks, and he begins to talk to her and ask her for the what is first. And I can imagine what she was thinking. Who is this guy? And the audacity of asking me for something first. I mean, this guy's crazy. I mean, we're going to die. And she was afraid. She was afraid. I mean, I can imagine, and you could imagine too, you'd be afraid too if you were in that position. But Elijah says, don't be afraid. God's going to do a miracle for you. I imagine she was wondering to herself, God, why did you send this dude to a rich person? Why did you send him to me? Right? But he says, go fix me that small loaf first, and then. And I think she probably thought, this guy's crazy. He's out of his mind. But you know what? I think there's a lot of people that might be in this room that when the first time you heard the pastor say, you need to bring God the first, you probably thought I was a little crazy too. How can we do that? How can we give God the first? How can we bring the first? And my family comes first. Well, really? Okay. And it'd be crazy to do that. Listen, I want to just say this. It's not my job to make you like me. You may not like me. That's not my job. My job is to bring you the truth and get you into the blessed life that God has for you. Amen? And so I'm just going to share truth with you today. Here's what I believe, that the best time to sow is when things are tough, when things aren't going the way you thought they should. And here's this woman. Things are tough for her. As the Lord lives, she says, I don't have anything baked, only a handful of flour in a jar, a bit of oil in a jug. I'm gathering a couple of sticks in order to go prepare for myself and my son so we may eat and die. Listen, tough times are a test of what we really are and who we really are and what we're really made of. And I remember, you know, listen, the truth is there was 3 more years of tough times ahead of her. She was going to need a lot more help from God than just that moment. And listen, how do you expect to get through a tough time without God's help? She needed God's help, amen? And that's why God gave her this opportunity to get her priorities right so that he could step in. Lisa and I were only married a couple of years, and we were part of a church planting organization, and they had sent us with another pastor into this city in California. We were planting a church, and I had carpet cleaning equipment that I would go take with me, and I'd set up a little carpet cleaning business to take care of the family needs on the side, and then work with the pastor, and we were getting a church planted. And I mean, the business was all set up, but then there was no business. You know what I mean? That's tough when the phone's not ringing. And I remember this day when we didn't have any money left. We didn't have money to buy gas, to buy food, to pay our rent. We were just down to the end. And I could still see it in my mind, the room, the couch, everything, because it marked such a moment in our lives. We got down on our knees at the couch in this place, and we began to pray. And I said, God, you know that from the very first, we have honored you with the first of our lives. We have honored you with the first, and we need you now to help us, because we're in need of a miracle. God, we need you to come through now. And God is my witness, we were on our knees and the phone on the wall rings. I mean, there was no phone, there was no cell phones back then. Okay, that shows, you know, there's just a phone on the wall, right? And it rings and it's a hotel. And said, listen, Brad, we need 30 rooms cleaned right now. Can you come? And I said, I'll be there in a jiffy, you know? And so that God provided for us more than we needed in that. And because we had always honored God first, even in the tough times. I have a great friend who had who moved down to this area to take over a struggling business. Actually, they hired him to sell the business. And they were selling the entire company for $300,000, and he couldn't find a buyer. He couldn't find a buyer. And so they paid him a check for several months that he had worked for them, and they had, you know, he hadn't gotten paid. And finally, they give him a check for $10,000, but told him, listen, the check's no good. Don't cash it because there's not enough money in the account to cover it. But we just wanted to put it in your hand. And so he carries that check into church on a Sunday that we are taking a special offering for some property that we're going to be looking to buy. And God speaks to him and says, sow that check. And he says, Lord, I don't even have money to pay my rent. I don't have money to take care of the needs. And God said, give me the first. And so he turned that check over and he signed it over to the church and he dropped it in the offering bucket. And something happened from that moment on in that company. It was probably one of the most miraculous turnarounds, because all of a sudden the equipment started selling like crazy. I mean, people started seeing their infomercial and began buying Bowflexes like no tomorrow. This is back in the early 90s when Bowflex was in Vancouver, and then it was bought by Nautilus, and the stock went from 18 cents a share to $40 a share and split several times. It went back to $40 a share, and my friend's $10,000 seed turned into a $40 million estate. Come on, are you with me? See, that's what, when we honor God with the first. And so it was during the tough times, and God wanted to provide for this woman for 3 years, and it was a tough time, but she honored him and God honored hers. You got to remember that. And listen, it may sound crazy, and I put it in your notes, bringing God the first sometimes looks and sounds crazy. I forgot to add this last part. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. It sounded crazy to the widow. It sounded crazy to my friend. It sounded crazy to me when I heard God ask me to bring the first and honor him with that. But listen, here's something you need to know. Now, hear me. This is probably the most important thing I'm going to say today. God didn't send Elijah to the widow so that the widow could provide for Elijah. God sent Elijah to the widow so God could provide for Elijah. God didn't need that widow to provide for Elijah. I mean, you back up a few verses and you see God is sending a raven to where Elijah is and bringing him bread and meat every day. God knows how to take care of his men. And you go two chapters later in chapter 19 and Elijah's out in the wilderness and he lays down to take a nap, and he wakes up, and an angel had placed water and a little cake next to his head. And when he wakes up, there's the angel, and the angel says, take and eat. And he goes back to sleep. He wakes up again, and there's another glass of water and another cake there, and the angel says, eat this too. It's just because men of God like cake. Men of God just like cake. We do. We do. Especially a lemon cake. Oh, that's my favorite anyway. And by the way, this is the first mention of angel food cake anywhere ever. And so, our art. And so, bringing God the first sometimes looks and sounds crazy. Do it anyway. And here's the third thing we learned, that bringing the first always precedes the promise of provision. I mean, what is Allah, what does the word of the Lord say? He says, for this is the what the Lord God of Israel says. Elijah didn't say, I'm promising you this. This is what I'm saying. No, he says, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The flour jar will not become empty and the oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land. And I think it's very interesting, verse 15. It says, so she proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. Now, listen, she could have walked away. She had a choice right at that moment. She could have walked away and never come back. She could have heard what Elijah said about the thing, and she could have gone home, baked her bread, and ate it, and said, he doesn't know where I live. He'll never see. He'll never find me. She had that choice, just like all of us have the choice. But you know what she did? She said, no, I'm going to hear the word of the Lord. And she goes, and she does exactly what he had instructed her, and the flour jar did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry. That's a miracle, because, see, God wants to provide for you, but he wants you to honor him first. He just wants you to honor him first. And, you know, like, and listen, God knew that she needed a bigger blessing than just food, too. God knew that her son was sick. That he was, in fact, very sick. It isn't much, because in that chapter, if you read down a little bit, her son gets sick and actually dies. And she goes, brings her dead son to Elijah, and he prays for her, and God raises this young boy up again. And gives him life. And it's an incredible miracle. And I think about that, what Pastor Stephen was saying last week, that God says that I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. The devil showed up and said, I want this life. I'm going to steal this young boy's life. And God said, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. Provision. And now comes the protection. How would you like it if God was at the door of your home, and every time the devil and his or some of his knuckleheads showed up at your door and wanted to give you a hard time or cause you trouble, he stood up and said, oh, no, 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 no. You're not going to mess with these. And because you're going to have to come through me first. And that ain't going to happen. Come on. How would you like to have God standing at your door to do that? Well, he says, I will. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And that's exactly what he did here. And she gets a miracle of her son back. And I'm telling you what, it takes faith in God to give God the first. It takes faith in his word to give God the first. It doesn't take any faith at all to just give God what's left over. But the people, you know, but God is looking for a faith-filled people. And that's why, you know, when we look at the story of Cain and Abel, and we look at, you know, these two men in Genesis chapter 4, and here they are, just two brothers. And I, from what I understand and from what I've studied, I think they were twins, because it says Adam was intimate with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have had a male child with the Lord's help. And then she gave birth to his brother, Abel. And there was no conception in between. It was just she conceived and she gave birth to Cain and then she gave birth to Abel. So they were very possibly could have been twins. And they grew up in the presence of God and around. They understood the ways of God and the things of God. And they grow up and decide to take on professions. And Cain becomes a farmer. And Abel becomes a rancher. They must have been graduates of Oregon State. God's favorite university. Hey, I don't get the mic very often anymore, so I got to, you know, when I have it. Come on. Anyway, okay, so back to the message. And it says, in the course of time, Cain presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord. So when it came to be an offering time, they presented their offerings, okay? Because they've been around, they knew what was expected and how this thing worked. And Cain brings an offering to the Lord. And Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. And Cain was furious, and he looked despondent. And we know from the rest of the story that Cain's anger takes over. He's mad at Abel. He's mad at God. He ends up killing his brother. And I go back to that key Bible verse, right? Go back to the key Bible verse. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness, and then they are angry at the Lord. And that's exactly what Cain did, right? Why didn't he bring the first fruits of the field? Why didn't Cain do that? He should have known. I'll tell you why. In Jude, little book in the Bible, second to the last book, it's just one chapter long, verse 11 says this, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." Two characteristics of Cain's heart. Remember, it starts with a heart check. We've been talking about this all three of these weeks in this the Blessed Life series. Cain's heart had two characteristics. One, it was greedy, and it was rebellious. And listen, what does it mean to be greedy? It means you want more for yourself. What does it mean to be rebellious? Rebellion is simply, I want to do it my way, the way I think is best. And so that was in the heart of Cain. I want to bring the offering that I think is best, not what God says, not God's way. I want more for myself. Well, how does this, you know, think about this. How does that work out if you tell your wife, listen, man, you tell your wife, well, listen, I'm going to love you the way I think is the best way to love you. Not the way you might expect or not the way people think is the right way, but the way I think is best. Or what if you went to your boss and you said, I'm going to do this job the way I think is the best way to do this job. How far is that going to go? Or maybe you go to the IRS. I'm going to pay my taxes the way I think is best to pay my taxes. Not going to work out. Just not going to work out. And why do we, you know, that rebellion takes you, it's greed and rebellion. We want more for ourselves, and we're going to do it my own way. Well, I'm going to give the way I think is the best and the way I'm led to do it. You know what? That's just an excuse for rebellion. Ouch, Pastor Brad. Well, again, I just want to remind you, my job is not to get you to like me. It's to tell you the truth. Amen. But here's what the truth says in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Malachi 3 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see if I won't open the windows of heaven over you and pour out such a blessing there won't be room enough to contain it. And Exodus chapter 23 says, you know, bring the first of the first fruits. As you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. Come on, that's the word. And see, what happened is God started blessing Abel. Now, I don't know what it looked like, but I have a feeling that Abel's flocks and his herds and, you know, all the things that he was ranching just began to pop out calves. I mean, they started multiplying like rabbits, you know? And there were so many animals and new births, and Cain sees it. He's jealous because his crops are not producing. They're having a tough time in the field. But God's blessing Abel. And what was the heart of Abel? Well, guess what? The heart of Abel was different. In Hebrews 11, chapter 4, in this chapter that talks about the heroes of faith, Abel is mentioned. By faith, verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Why was it better? Because it was the first. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man because God approved what? What did God approve? His gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith. Abel gave the first through faith. He trusted God and God's word. And when he honored the first, he honored God's first. And listen, I want you to catch this, because there is really so much connected to honoring God's, honoring the first. When you honor the first, you honor God's first. And it triggers in the Lord's mind some memories. His memory of Abraham giving his first son, his covenant. It reminds him of his promises. And then it reminds him of his firstborn, Jesus, his offering for us. Come on, are you with me? I mean, God calls Jesus his first fruits, his firstborn, his best. And when we give him our best, when our first, it connects us with that. It reminds him that we're honoring him and we're honoring the first that God gave to us. And listen, I don't know if this could ever happen. And I don't know if God gets offended. I don't know if God gets offended. But can you imagine? You know, sometimes I think about it. God, does it ever offend you that, you know, you gave us, you've given us everything we need for life. You've given us a pathway to life and blessing. You've given us everything we need for eternity. And you've given us your highest and your firstborn and the first fruits of the resurrection. Also, we could enjoy eternity, eternal life. You give us your first. And I wonder, do you ever get offended when we don't honor you with our first? Now, I don't know, you know, but listen, as for me and my house, he's never going to have to, I'll never have to even ask that question. Because I want him to be pleased. I want to walk in the sweet spot in favor of God. Amen. How many want to walk in the sweet spot of God's favor in your life? Honor the first. Honor the first. When you honor the first, you honor Jesus. When you honor him, amen? And I'm telling you what, when we do that, I'll tell you, it just changes everything. It'll change our world, change this house. I think, you know, listen, Anthem, listen. From this day on, as we go and as we move into the future of this house, I mean, may this house be a house where our Almighty God, our Savior, our wonderful Counselor, our Creator, the Creator of all things, knows that we're going to honor Him first at all times, in every way, for His glory, and it'll end up for our good. Because God is faithful. We hear His word. We do according to His word. And listen, even in the toughest of tough times, He'll make a way where there is no way. And you watch God over and over again show up in incredible ways. Amen? Are we that people? Come on, are we that people? Well, then let's do this. Amen?
Thank you for joining us. We are located at 1415 Northeast 223rd Avenue in Fairview, Oregon. You can find us online at www.anthemfamily.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at My Anthem Family. God bless.